Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Quick hits. You don't want to miss out. Ector County Sheriff's Office has scheduled Donut and Coffee with a Deputy event from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. today at the Gardendale Community Center, 4226 East Lark's Spur Lane, North Gardendale Avenue, Gardendale. Human Trafficking Summit, Reflection Ministry of Texas, has scheduled Human Trafficking Summit from 8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. today at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street. Hear from survivor leaders and experts about the prevalence of human trafficking and how you can be involved in stopping it. For tickets or information, visit tinyurl.com/3E2NSBVZ. MC Cosmetology and Pink the Basin. The Midland College Cosmetology Program, Room 159 Technology Center, 3600 North Garfield Street, Midland, has scheduled a breast cancer awareness fundraiser from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays through October 30th. MC Cosmetology students will be offering pink hair extensions for $5, which includes a donation to Pink the Basin. Visit tinyurl.com/6HHVFW6K. Free blood pressure and glucose screenings. The Medical Center Hospital Family Health Clinic, West University, 6030 West University Boulevard, has scheduled a free blood pressure and glucose screenings from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. each Tuesday through December 27th. Visit tinyurl.com/2YVKB55C. Bridge Pumpkin Patch. The Bridge, 3901 East Yukon Road, has scheduled Pumpkin Patch benefiting the West Texas Food Bank and Bridge Kids Ministries through October 30th. The patch is open from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturdays, and noon to 7 p.m. Sundays. Prices start at $1 and go up from there. Visit tinyurl.com/55V8J8JM. Volunteer poll watchers needed. Commissioner Mike Gardner, Ector County Precinct 1, has announced the need for poll watcher volunteers. Training will take place at 2 p.m. October 21st at the Ector County Republican Headquarters, 707 Jefferson Avenue. Training takes 45 minutes. There is no interaction with the public. The objective is to observe the election process to ensure it is fair and honest. To sign up for volunteer schedule or more information, visit tinyurl.com/4C5JURX4. Makerspace Collective Forms. Dan Shantz, Vice President of Venture Robotics, was chosen as the first president of the Makerspace Collective. This is a new organization assembled by designers, artists, creatives, and fabricators from across the Midland-Odessa area. The collective's first official meeting took place this past September and will continue to meet on the third Monday of every month. Shantz said he and his team at Venture Robotics led out in the effort to put the collective together. It's an investment in the Midland and Odessa industrial communities, he said in a news release. So much changes every day with this technology, and we can help curate it here. Adriana Moreno, a representative of the Fab Lab at Odessa College and a member of the collective, highlighted the organization's purpose and gave some insight into its exciting beginning and a few of their integral accomplishments. The Makerspace Collective was born out of a desire to bring creators together, she said. The organization's overall goal is to keep up the pace and do even more for the community, to engage them in the cause and give back. When asked about the importance of such an organization existing within the Permian Basin, Moreno said she believes that it is vital to the community, not only because of what it does, but for those it affects. This organization not only fosters a connection among professionals, but it also is on track to raise awareness about STEAM, Education for Younger Students, the release said. With these types of resources in the Permian Basin, professionals and students will gain an awareness about the world and learn skills that are needed in the workplace, and that will be needed in the future as the world faces a variety of challenges and as technology continues to advance. There are many members of the new organization. These represent local industry, 3D printing companies, TTHSC, Odessa College Fab Lab, and UTPB. Moving forward, the organization will solidify its position in the community in a variety of ways, professional training, school appearances, and local events that they can contribute to. Dan Shantz can be reached at 432-296-2453. Adriana Marino can be reached at almarino@odessa.edu or 432-288-1138. Local News Roundup. Woman arrested for allegedly stabbing her boyfriend. An 18-year-old woman was arrested Thursday after her boyfriend told paramedics she stabbed him. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers were dispatched to an apartment complex in the 5000 block of North Dixie Boulevard around 11 p.m. for a disturbance call, and when they arrived, they could hear yelling inside the apartment. Once inside the apartment, officers saw Ayana McDade dressing what appeared to be a stab wound on the right bicep of her boyfriend. The report stated the boyfriend told an officer he'd walked into a wall, but he told a paramedic McDade had stabbed him with a kitchen knife. The report stated officers found a bloody knife in the kitchen sink and blood drops on the kitchen and the bathroom floor. McDade was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony, punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. She was released from the Ector County Jail Saturday, posting a $40,000 surety bond. Chase ends in car crash. A suspected car thief is in custody after crashing the vehicle at Pine Avenue and Lindbergh Street Monday afternoon. According to the Odessa Police Department, officers tried to pull over a stolen vehicle at gunpoint off Beale Street around noon. The driver fled from officers in pursuit, but the car eventually crashed. No one was injured, and the suspect, whose name has not been released, was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of robbery and felony evading in a vehicle. ECISD Threat Assessment Team investigating threat. The Odessa Police Department Sunday afternoon received a call about a possible threat made by a student. ECISD's threat assessment team started an immediate investigation and found that a Permian high school freshman had texted two friends who attend New Tech Odessa and warned them not to go to NTO Monday. The text included a picture of a gun he took from the internet, a news release said. We want to remind parents and students once again, what may be intended as a joke will not be treated that way. This student was arrested and charged with a Class A misdemeanor threat or exhibition of a weapon on school grounds or bus. We want to thank those who called the authorities to report this message. Our school district will stay vigilant to these sorts of threats, will investigate them, and will file criminal charges when appropriate. The release said. OC Board Meets. The Odessa College Board of Trustees will meet for a workshop at noon today in room 119 of the Wood Math and Science Building, 201 West University Boulevard. The agenda includes discuss the purchase of network switching, discuss the AIA agreement for a pedestrian bridge, utilize medical center health system, contracts for purchasing, quarterly investment report, monthly financial statements, and budget amendments. Career Fair at OC Today. Come and explore your career options at the annual Odessa College Career Fair, an event which provides job seekers excellent opportunities to meet with representatives from area employers. The fair is free and open to students and the public from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. today in the OC Sports Center ICA Community Gym. The Sports Center is located at 201 West University Boulevard. Job seekers should bring copies of their resumes to distribute to employers and dress professionally, as company representatives will be taking applications and discussing available job opportunities. Some of the participating companies may conduct job interviews during the career fair. Companies representing the healthcare, finance, trucking, oil and gas, electrical, higher education, hospitality, and law enforcement industries will be among the numerous employers present to meet with students and the public. The Odessa College Learning Resources Center staff will help attendees create their resumes and set up their Go Educate accounts. Go Educate provides students and the job seekers with real-time career and credential insights, academic pathways, and in-demand job opportunities. Odessa College representatives will also be available to discuss workforce training and educational opportunities available at Midland College. UTPB faculty students take part in Naylor Workshop. The UTPB faculty and students got a chance to workshop and network at the recent Naylor Workshop on Undergraduate Research in Writing Studies at York College in Pennsylvania. Dates were September 30th, October 2nd. UTPB has been participating since 2016. Rebecca Babcock, the William N. Ordell Watts Professor in the English Department, said in an email, "To be selected, you fill out an application. Both students and mentors need to apply and be accepted. Students who don't have a research topic can apply for an equity and access grant also by filling out an application. The applications are usually due in summer," Babcock wrote. "Those attending mostly come from the U.S., she said. "The benefits to both students and faculty mentors are networking, learning new perspectives, and the opportunity to speak to like-minded people about one's research project. More tangible results for students would be the ability to make connections with faculty and possible graduate school placements," Babcock said. "When applying to graduate school, it always helps if you know one of the faculty members. Other benefits are to the communities where the participants live. Workshop participants come back invigorated to make change in their communities through research and education. Faculty come back refreshed and excited, and also honored to be included in such august company. It will show in their teaching. Faculty also get the opportunity to mentor students from other universities, which builds more connections," she wrote. Leslie Malland, visiting English lecturer, and Candace Harding, a student and undergraduate researcher, attended. Malland said a department-wide announcement was shared by Babcock. She applied and was accepted. Harding said she wrote a research proposal for one of the writing studies classes at UTPB with Babcock. "I applied just as part of a grade, but then it got accepted," Harding said. "It wasn't something she had her eye on. The research wasn't necessarily something that I was putting a lot of focus on, but I was told it was really prestigious," Harding said. Her research was on the relationship between font and reading speed. Times New Roman is the most readable font, as far as science has proven thus far. However, the research that I'm doing is on the font called Bionic Reading, and it guides the eye with artificial fixation points and allows the brain through megacognition to fill in the remaining parts of the word. That will be done with Texas Tech's eye tracking lab for the actual data part of the research, so I don't have any data for it yet. Harding said Babcock told her about the eye tracking lab. The first night was a meet and greet. We had a formal dinner. Researchers, the plenary speaker, and the researchers got up and gave a quick overview about how the research topic aligned with social justice. The kind of underlying theme of the workshop was social justice and social injustices, and how they can be looked at through various research aspects and writing studies. My research specifically focuses with just neurodivergent readers, which is something that's becoming more of a norm now. People self-identifying as neurodivergent, Harding said. Malland was a mentor. The mentor is a little bit different. We were given 3 mentees. We read the research proposals and came back into the workshop ready to ask guiding questions for them. When we did the formal dinner with everybody and then the day of the workshop, we got into small working groups. As a mentor, I worked with another mentor. What we did try to do was spend a little time with each student researcher, asking guiding questions to help them develop their ideas, and then group workshopping each idea so that everyone could have input and helping them develop their ideas, Malland said. The conference also recognized undergraduate researchers as researchers and writers when they are normally just looked at as students. Malland noted how prestigious this was for UTPB to have 2 full-time faculty and 4 students attend the conference. Malland said it is also exciting for UTPB because it shows the level they're at as lecturers and they are hiring more. Myra Salcido, senior lecturer in the Department of Literature and Language, said the workshop was an incredible experience for her. I am hearing impaired and have a hand in disabilities studies. I mentored students in professional writing, young adult novels, and those negotiating physical disabilities. I was just amazed at the level of brilliance demonstrated from the students that I met. The future belongs to them. We are in good hands, Salcido said.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, October 18th, 2022, Education section. MC shows off dual credit opportunities by Ben Schaefer. Midland College hosted its special dual credit program showcase for MISD junior high students last week. All that really means is that a student is getting high school credit and college credit at the same time and in the same course. Assistant Director of Dual Credit Courtney Fairchild described some of those courses take place in the high school students and the high school students attend, and others take place on MC's campus, according to Fairchild. She specified that 2 different kinds of dual credit courses, the core and transfer classes, and career and technical programs. Most people are unaware that career and technical programs in MC can be taken for dual credit. Dual credit programs are in the following areas of study: architecture, automotive, business, cybersecurity, education, EMT and fire, energy technology, engineering, law enforcement, nurse aid, patient care tech, pharmacy tech, and welding. Core and transfer classes are classes that are your core classes: math, English, history. We also offer foreign languages. She added that these courses are designed to be transferable to a university. In the state of Texas, in any public university, you must have a certain amount of core credits, and so those count toward that. Career and technical programs allow high school students to receive a certificate upon completion. You'll graduate with a credential. She went on to say that students can build upon this program and receive further career and technical certification through college. If you're doing the CTE courses, MISD is going to pay for those. Tuition for the core classes is paid for by the student or their family, but are at a significant discount. Participating in both core classes and career technical education courses is possible, and some students currently do so. You'll get real college credit on a real college transcript. If it's not pass-fail, you're going to get a grade. She implores students to choose classes they're interested in and to take this fantastic opportunity seriously. Students and parents were able to meet with representatives from Midland College dual credit programs. Idea Travis makes list of America's healthiest schools. IDEA Public Schools announced last week that IDEA Travis in Midland made the list of America's healthiest schools for their commitment to promoting quality nutrition, regular physical activity, and strong wellness policies. Idea Travis was one of three schools in the Permian Basin recognized. The other two are Idea Yukon Academy and College Prep in Odessa. Idea Public Schools also reported that 120 of its schools across Texas and Tampa, Florida, regions were among the top schools nationwide to earn a spot on the Alliance for a Healthier Generation 2022 list of America's Healthiest Schools. This distinction is a major accomplishment thanks to IDEA's Healthy Kids Here program. The three main areas of focus include food, fitness, and instilling healthy habits for the future. The program provides students with healthy meals, ample time for physical education and activity during the school day, and robust health services to keep scholars healthy. IDEA works hard to focus on the whole child, helping them to succeed academically while also focusing on their physical and mental health, said Megan Heron. This includes providing health services, serving nutritious meals, finding ways to be physically active throughout the day, and educating students on how to make healthy life choices. This recognition from the Alliance for a Healthier Generation is a testament to the amazing work happening in our campuses and the success of our Healthy Kids Here program. Dave Zavala, teacher, asks for ESL items for classroom. By Ben Schaefer. Ms. Herrera, a teacher at Dave Zavala Elementary, is seeking funding for an iPad for her 3rd grade to 5th grade students. The project expires December 1st, and there is $330 needed to fully fund it. The project will reach 24 students. Herrera's students are mainly comprised of Hispanic and Latino boys and girls who learn English as a second language through courses like math, science, social studies, and language arts. Herrera has purchased an Osmo Genius starter kit for her students, an educational package used for subjects like math, STEM, spelling, and others. However, Osmo's educational kit can only be used when paired with an iPad, according to the listing. Bynum School raises $1.6 million during fundraiser at Midland Polo Club. Under a billowing white tent, more than 600 guests gathered to watch a game of polo, enjoy gourmet food and beverages, bid on one-of-a-kind auction items, and listen to live entertainment in support of Bynum School. The sold-out fundraiser gave donors a chance to witness one of the oldest team sports in the world while raising a record-setting $1.6 million for a worthwhile cause. Since its inaugural match in 2018, Chuckers for Children has raised more than $3.2 million for the area's only year-round school for individuals with disabilities. The biannual event helps ensure children and adults with disabilities in the Permian Basin have access to quality programs and services, regardless of their mental or physical ability. The opportunity to partner with the Midland Polo Club has given us a unique fundraising opportunity, said Carrie St. John, executive director. We are so thankful to the club, donors, and sponsors for their generosity. The event helps the school fund student grants, educational initiatives, operations, and therapeutic services, including occupational, speech, physical, and neurologic music therapy. We feel humbled and blessed by the community's support, said Tracy Bush, school director of development. The money we raised will help some very deserving students. BEDC hosts seminar in Spanish. The Midland College Business and Economic Development Center, in partnership with Casa de Amigos, hosted an entrepreneurial seminar in Spanish featuring brothers Fabian and Jesus Vensor, owners of Vensor Brothers Logistics. The seminar in September featured a question-and-answer session led by BEDC counselors Mary Carmen Luna and Sylvia Adams. More than 100 people attended the event held at Casa de Amigos. This is our first small business entrepreneurial seminar conducted entirely in Spanish, Victoria Santiago said. We are thankful to Casa de Amigos for their assistance and providing the location for the seminar. The prepared portion of the interview discussion lasted about 80 minutes. However, many people stayed later to ask questions. The brothers shared their journey of immigrating to the U.S. from Mexico and starting a successful trucking business. Both Midland College and Casa de Amigos have played important roles in their success. Fabian Vensor and his wife arrived in Midland in 2013 from Mexico. They both obtained a job working at Walmart and lived in their car behind the store during those first few months. The couple took English as a second language and GED classes at Cogdell Learning Center and obtained high school equivalency diplomas in 2018. When Jesus and his wife immigrated to Midland, Jesus obtained a scholarship from Casa de Amigos to take transportation training classes at Midland College, and he obtained a commercial driver's license. In 2018, the brothers started Venzor Brothers Logistics, which is located in Midland and primarily operates in the transportation services sector. The company generated about $67,000 in annual revenues. The presentation was very powerful. Jesus and Fabian's parents flew in from Mexico to attend, and as Fabian was telling his story, I don't think there was a dry eye in the place. Nobody wanted to leave. Everybody was extremely engaged. Santiago said that the Midland College BEDC will continue to host entrepreneurial discussions in both English and Spanish. For more information, contact BEDC at bedc@midland.edu or 432-684-4309. Midland College event calendar. Welcome to the fall second 8-week session. 9:20 to 10:50 a.m. Tuesday, October 18th, is the first day of MC's accelerated second 8-week session. All MC students are invited to stop by the atrium in Marie Hall Academic Building for a good luck with classes celebration. Chem Clash 2022, 5:30 p.m. Tuesday. Keep your eye on the prize and zinc fast. Join the MC Chemistry Department for this fun online interactive event in celebration of National Chemistry Week featuring Shannon O'Dell and Andre Isaacs. Participants will compete in real time against chemists and students around the globe across 5 rounds of trivia for prizes and the title of Chem Clash Champion. The event will be held in the Fox Science Building, Room 219. Estate Planning Update 2022. 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Thursday, Scarborough Student Center, Carrasco Room. Midland College Foundation and Midland Memorial Foundation host this informative seminar about planned giving, professional development, credit for attorneys, CPAs, and certified financial planners will be issued through the Midland College Workforce Continuing Education Department. MC Student Music Recital, 12:30 p.m. Thursday. Take a break from your hectic day. Relax and enjoy the talent of MC Music students in the Allison Fine Arts Building, Wagner and Brown Auditorium. The Davidson Distinguished Lecture Series presents Lessons from the Edge by Maria Ivanovich, former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine. Al G. Langford Chaparral Center, 7 p.m. Thursday, Chap Center. Tickets are not required for general admission seating. Doors open at 6. Aviation Maintenance Technology, open house, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Friday. Midland International Airport, Hangar E, 2415 Windecker. All are invited to learn more about MC's Aviation Maintenance Technology program. Join MC for coffee and donuts in the morning. Hot dogs served from 11:30 to 1. Nova Club hosts video games and anime. 5 to 8 p.m. Friday, Scarborough Student Center Grill Hub Area. MC Chemistry Club hosts Fabulous Fibers at Midland Park Mall near Dillard's for Men, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday. Join the Chemistry Club student chapter of the American Chemical Society for a free community event celebrating the importance of chemistry in everyday life. Learn about this year's National Chemistry Week theme, Fabulous Fibers, the Chemistry of Fabrics. The club will host hands-on activities and demonstrations. Members invite you to stop by and have some fun. Fort Stockton native takes the reins at YWLA campus by Trevor Hawes. Laura Doty admits that she always kind of knew she wanted to pursue a career in education, but it wasn't until after college that she found her calling. She was born and raised in Fort Stockton and felt the urge to teach as a child after seeing her mother, a now retired teacher of 32 years, in action. Yet her ambitions changed upon entering college. She received a bachelor's degree in mass communication with an emphasis in electronic media from Texas State University. "I was thinking at the time that I would become a TV journalist," she said, "but then I met a boy." Doty married right out of college, and her former husband's enlistment in the Army took her to Kansas. She happened upon a paraprofessional opportunity at a local middle school where she worked with special ed students. The experience changed the trajectory of her career. "I was hooked," she said. "Working with kids is what I really wanted to do, especially middle school kids. Junior high schoolers are at a pivotal time in their lives. They're figuring out their identities, and there's something about this age group that I really like." Then, as happens in times of war, her former husband was deployed. Left alone in Kansas with a 3-month-old child and determined to advance her educational career, she changed course. She moved back home and earned her teaching certificate through I Teach Texas. It was tough, but worth it. "At the time, I taught in Crockett Middle School in Pecos, about an hour's drive each way. My mother would drop off and pick up my child every day from daycare so I could be a teacher, and for that, I'm forever grateful." Then Kansas came calling again. Dodie taught middle school at the Army base. Everyone in Kansas had a master's degree and aimed to pursue educational leadership, which inspired me to go back to school and do the same. Dodie headed back to West Texas once again to pursue her master's at the University of Texas Permian Basin, and a certain professor, Jennifer Siebert, would play a big role in her career. After teaching for a time in Big Spring, Dodie took a position as a teacher at Sam Houston Elementary. She then moved to Goddard Junior High, where she taught English and was the department chair, her first leadership opportunity. In 2019, Midland ISD entered into partnership with the Young Women's Preparatory Network to open a YWLA campus. Siebert, the school's first principal, had Dodie in mind to fill the dean of students role, her first opportunity as an administrator. "There were lots of firsts, not just for me, but for everyone at YWLA when it opened. New campus, new concept, new position, new culture. But I love a challenge." In 2021, Siebert was tapped to become principal at Midland High. "She wanted me to apply to lead YWLA, and I didn't feel like I was ready. However, after doing a lot of research, I took the plunge." While she now leads a school, what keeps her in education is the same as when she was a paraprofessional 15 years ago. Every day, she gets to help students build their self-confidence and revels in the relationships she's built along the way. "From a moment I get to school each day, I know this is where I want to be."
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, October 12th, 2022. MMH earns sleep program accreditation. The Midland Memorial Hospital Diagnostic Sleep Center recently received program accreditation from the American Academy of Sleep Medicine. Quote, "The American Academy of Sleep Medicine congratulates Midland Memorial Hospital on meeting the high standards required to earn accreditation as a sleep disorders center," end quote, said Dr. Jennifer Martin, AASM president. Quote, "Midland Memorial Hospital is an important resource for the local community and will provide the highest quality care for people who have sleep disorders. Sleep is essential to health, and the effective treatment of sleep disorders can be life-changing," end quote. To receive and maintain accreditation for a 5-year period, a sleep center must meet or exceed all standards for professional health care as designated by the AASM. These standards address core areas such as personnel, facility and equipment, policies and procedures, data acquisition, patient care, and quality assurance. Additionally, the sleep center's goals must be clearly stated and include plans for positively affecting the quality of medical care in the community it serves. Quote, "The Diagnostic Sleep Center of Midland is proud of our physicians and staff for the dedication to providing high-quality sleep care for Greater Midland," end quote, said Sean Stark, cardiopulmonary and neurology diagnostics manager. Quote, "Sleep is an important pillar to helping us fulfill our vision of becoming the healthiest community in Texas," end quote. The American Academy of Sleep Medicine accredited a sleep disorders center for the first time in 1977. Today, there are more than 2,600 AASM-accredited sleep centers across the country. The American Academy of Sleep Medicine is a professional medical society for clinicians, researchers, and other healthcare providers in the field of sleep medicine. As the national accrediting body for sleep disorder centers, the AASM improves sleep health and promotes high-quality patient-centered care through advocacy, education, strategic research, and practice standards. AgriLife DEA, one pill can kill this Halloween. This Halloween holiday, the Texas Department of Transportation and the Drug Enforcement Agency is teaming up with Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Services Watch UR BAC program to spread awareness of the fentanyl epidemic spreading across our state. The Drug Enforcement Administration warns the public of the alarming increase in the lethality and availability of fake prescription pills containing fentanyl and methamphetamine. International and domestic criminal drug networks are mass-producing fake pills, falsely marketing them as legitimate prescription pills and killing unsuspecting Texans. These counterfeit pills are easy to purchase, widely available, and often contain deadly doses of fentanyl. Pills purchased outside of a licensed pharmacy are illegal, dangerous, and potentially lethal. These risks include overdose, forming new addictions, and traffic-related crashes due to impairment. Over the Halloween holiday, it is especially important that parents stay informed on this epidemic. One of these most prevalent trends currently involves rainbow-colored pills that have been laced with fentanyl and designed to attract younger kids. Quote, "We know friends and families will be especially excited to spend time trick-or-treating with their kids this year," end quote, said Krissa Chin, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Health Agent for Crane, Midland, and Upton Counties. Quote, "Unfortunately, we as a community must be aware of the dangers out there related to illicit substances. This is a real threat to our children, and it is our responsibility to protect them. It's important that parents understand one pill containing fentanyl can kill," end quote. The U.S. Drug Enforcement Association, DEA, is urging parents to be aware of rainbow fentanyl, a deathly opioid that drug traffickers are using to, quote, "drive addiction amongst kids and young adults," end quote, DEA Administrator Ann Milgram said in a statement. Rainbow fentanyl is a drug in the form of a pill or powder that is brightly colored to look like candy and appeal to children and young people. Rainbow fentanyl is also being produced in blocks that resemble sidewalk chalk. This is dangerous, as a child could easily mistake this fentanyl block for a piece of sidewalk chalk. Ahead of Halloween, local authorities are warning parents to keep a close eye on trick-or-treat baskets, as just 2 milligrams of fentanyl, which is equal to 10 to 15 grains of table salt, is considered a lethal dose, per the DEA. Any candy-looking substance will get a lot of attention as Halloween nears, so parents should be on the lookout and kids should be reminded never to eat unpackaged candy without having parents inspect it first. The bottom line is this: never accept any candy, pills, or other substances you believe to be tampered with or laced with fentanyl, because one pill can kill. By working together, we can save lives and help keep each other safe. Please join us in spreading this important message for the Halloween holiday. One pill can kill. For more information, contact Jeffrey Pierce, Watch UR BAC Program, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service, by phone 979-321-5333. Email jeffrey.pierce@ag.tamu.edu or visit dea.gov/onepill. Safety tips. If you're planning to head out for some fun trick-or-treating, here are a few tips to help you prepare for a safe night out. Remember that it is never okay to accept candy that is not in an unbroken sealed package. If you find a substance you believe could be fentanyl, do not touch it. Immediately contact local law enforcement. If you see someone you believe to be impaired on fentanyl or any other substance, contact local law enforcement. This includes drivers you believe could be impaired. Too little sleep makes people less generous. Empathy and generosity are two traits that arguably make the world go round. But a study suggests that the willingness to help collapses when people get too little or poor sleep. To see how sleep affects how much humans help one another, researchers conducted three experiments designed to examine the issue from the individual to the societal scale. Their results are published in the PLOS Biology. In the first experiment, researchers performed functional magnetic resonance imaging scans of the brain and asked questions to 24 adults after 8 hours of sleep and after a night with no sleep. When they were well rested, the participants scored well on a helping behavior test. But after sleep deprivation, 78% had less of a desire to help others, even when it came to friends and family. The scans showed that areas of the brain associated with social cognition, our thought processes related to other people, were less active with sleep deprivation. The second experiment tracked 136 healthy adults over 4 nights and asked them questions about helping the following day. The effect held for them too, and those who reported worse sleep quality scored worse on the tests. To test the effects on a societal level, the researchers then looked at a database of 3 million charitable donations given between 2001 and 2016. They found that immediately following the beginning of daylight savings time, a notorious sleep disruptor, donations dropped 10%. The effect wasn't found in data from Hawaii or Arizona, however. Neither observed DST. Nor did the shift back to standard time have such an association with donations. There's a silver lining to all that ungenerous behavior, the researchers write. Unlike personality traits, sleep can be modified. And both getting enough and helping others do the same might make for a better world. This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, October 14th, 2022. United Way hosting Booling for Charity. The United Way of Odessa is inviting the public to the 6th annual Booling for Charity on October 24th at Synergy in Odessa. The event is brought by Glazer's Beer and Beverage and will benefit the United Way of Odessa. Booling for Charity is scheduled for 6 p.m. October 24th at Synergy in Odessa, located at 8250 Highway 191. The proceeds benefit local programs that impact the lives of one in every three Odessans. The United Way of Odessa currently partners with 16 local partner agencies and 21 programs providing services in health, education, and self-sufficiency. The costs are $500 for a five-person team, $125 per bowler, and $150 bowling lane sponsor. To register, mail entry fee to United Way Odessa, attention Serena Benuelos, 128 East 2nd Street, Odessa, Texas 79761. Activities at Booling for Charity include prizes for first, second, and third place. Bowl a turkey to win a turkey. There will also be a raffle, a silent auction, and a costume contest.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, October 10th. Separating fact from fiction. Course helps navigate media. OC students learn how to dissect fake news. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. Through his media literacy class, Tim Clark, Odessa College professor of communications and speech, helps students sift through the deluge of information coming their way by tapping into their critical thinking skills. The course is one of the language, philosophy, and culture options for students, and it is required for any student wanting to be a communications major, Clark said. Previously, Clark was executive director of enrollment services and a student success coach. He started at OC in 2013 as an assistant registrar. Quote, I became involved with it, media literacy, because that's where a lot of my interest lies in studying communication. I love to teach speech, but I also really am involved in, like to appreciate, and like to see the media and all the things it can do, Clark said. The past few years in particular, the term fake news has been thrown out. Quote, that is a very real thing. We maybe in the past might have talked a lot about propaganda and talked about some misleading things that are sent out there, but really it became more popular over the last couple of years because students, in particular younger students, are becoming more aware of the things that they consume. We are seeing things consumed constantly from all different levels, Clark said. He added that his niece and nephews are spending any of their spare time outside of school either at a movie theater or watching things on TikTok, YouTube, or Twitch. Quote, we think about the media a lot, and we think about the news, and we think CNN and Fox News, but the media is all around us all the time, and that's really where my fun in studying this has come from, Clark said. He added that he tries to stay abreast of all the latest apps and technologies. Quote, I have relied on my students, as well as my niece and nephews, to continue to keep me up to date on where to follow and where they are consuming news, he said. He said it's hard sometimes because he's the instructor and his students might not want to share the cool places with him. Quote, but I do make it a point to go out there and find and see where users are tracking and what the age group of people on Twitter is, what the age group of people on Facebook is. We talk a lot about that in our course, Clark added. Showing an outline of the course, he said it is constantly under review because things are always changing. Quote, we can talk about printed media versus digital media. We talk about the movies because that's where one of my passions is. I spent a good week on the movies just in general. We start to look at them from a different point of view other than just, hey, I'm here for entertainment. What are we trying to say with these movies? How did this movie get produced? Where did it come from? We talk about who owns the media and how maybe there's some conglomerates out there that students might not even be aware of, Clark said. Right now, we talk about why there are so many superhero movies and where that's coming from, and we get to look at it from the audience's point of view because we can start by saying, hey, who's everybody's favorite superhero? And they'll all go around the room and everyone has one. And you're like, okay, why is that part of our everyday life? Why is that something that we're experiencing? They talk about thinking critically about what they're consuming, doing their research, vetting sources correctly, and the fact that things can go viral on Facebook and TikTok, end quote. Clark makes them think of origination and intention. Quote, what is the intention of the person that put it out there, and why is it getting onto your page? Why is it getting onto your parents' page? Why is it getting onto your grandparents' page? Clark said. You may get a screenshot, and then there are people who just read the headlines, end quote. He doesn't limit the discussion to America. Quote, we talked about Iran recently in our class, and it's really hard to get media from primary sources there because they shut it down, good or bad, and we have that discussion. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? But we can see something written by the New York Times. We can see an article of the same thing written by the Odessa American, and we can see an article of the same thing written in England. And we can say, okay, how is it different? What story are you reading based on where it is from? Clark said, that's always a fun assignment. He'll also give students an assignment to pick something that has happened historically or in their lifetime that they want to know more about. Look at it. How did the New York Times cover it? How did USA Today cover it? And how did the local media to that event cover it? Those are always fun assignments as well, Clark added. To teach how to figure out what's real and what isn't, he uses a couple of different respected and peer-reviewed sources such as PolitiFact. Quote, it used to be that if something was .com, you didn't trust it. You were looking for .org or .edu. Not so much anymore, so we get into peer-reviewed journals where the data comes from, and then we use resources that are available to us online. Clark said NPR has a way for listeners to figure out if something is fake news. There is also a standalone course from a group of graduate students at MIT. Clark said it walks through what would have happened if the moon landing had not gone successfully. They also talk about deep fakes and social media. Another thing they do in Clark's class is have students fill out a form where they track what they were doing at various times of day and add up how much time they exposed themselves to media. Quote, and then we talked about the times when they're exposed to media and don't even know it because that's how it was designed, Clark added. Ariadne Coronado, a former student of Clark's, is the Academic Partnerships Coordinator at OC. She earned an associate degree in early childhood and is working toward an associate degree in mass communication. Quote, I thought it was very informative. It was very interesting. What I liked about it was that I was able to really delve deep into the media and understanding of the different concepts of media literacy, Granado said. She's planning to be a teacher, but she also thought seriously about being a reporter at one point. Granado said she has learned to fact-check and not automatically go toward one viewpoint, but look into others. Quote, because not everything that you see on TV is factual. It's kind of like it's pre-programmed of what people are supposed to say, so I've learned to fact-check a lot of my sources, she said. Asked if it has changed the way she looks at social media, Granado said she has cut down on her platforms disabling her Instagram and Facebook accounts. Quote, "The only tie I have to social media now is Snapchat and Twitter. I just feel like it was kind of toxic being on Instagram and Facebook because I didn't realize it, but I was actually addicted to those two social media sites. I would actually have a panic attack not checking it or not posting, so I just had to disable it. I feel better now that I did, but this class had really opened my eyes," Granado said. EPA outlines climate change response plan. Texas plan keys on sea level rise, floods, drought. The story was written by Aaron Douglas of the Texas Tribune. The Environmental Protection Agency said last week it will roll out a suite of new actions and communication strategies to help Texans adapt to the impacts of climate change, particularly flooding, severe storms, and drought. The plan for EPA's Region 6, which includes Texas, Arkansas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Louisiana, found that Texas's largest vulnerabilities to climate change are to the impacts of more severe droughts, sea level rise, more intense coastal flooding, and increased intensity of storms, particularly stronger hurricanes, longer-lasting heat waves, and extreme rainstorms. EPA officials will take several proactive actions, including increasing inspections at industrial facilities along the Gulf Coast that are vulnerable to hurricanes, incorporating climate change adaptation measures into environmental permitting, and increasing enforcement on water systems that fail to comply with federal rules. The EPA strategy, the agency's first update to the plan since 2014, includes the expansion or creation of several outreach and communication programs to educate neighborhoods disproportionately impacted by the effects of climate change on steps they can take to better prepare. For example, the federal agency will increase outreach to Gulf Coast communities susceptible to flooding. Climate change brings with it more intense rainfall, heat, drought, and flooding. As a result, more problems surface for cities and states. Water shortages affect everything from water quality in cities to crop failures for the state's agricultural sector to the demand for electricity. Without sufficient quantities of water, power companies can't cool their plants, and customers could experience interruptions in service. Texans experienced that exact phenomenon in the summer of 2011 in the midst of an extreme drought. As climate change continues to increase average temperatures in Texas, the heat sucks out soil moisture and increases precipitation rates, exacerbating the impacts of such droughts. Texas is more vulnerable to water shortages because of rapid population growth in urban areas that is expected to dramatically increase the demand for limited water supplies. Higher nighttime temperatures brought by climate change also exacerbate health impacts from ozone pollution, and several metropolitan areas in Texas are already failing on federal air quality standards. And increasing temperatures and changing precipitation patterns alter Texas's existing ecosystem to newly accommodate different insects and animals, which could bring a rise in new and existing pests as well as invasive species, adversely impacting Texas's farmers and ranchers. The new pests will dramatically increase the risk of diseases to the public and agriculture, the EPA wrote. The Climate Adaptation Plan warns such problems will pose a challenge for existing federal regulations. For example, the EPA's regulations will need to keep up with new pesticides developed to address that rise in agricultural pests. EPA Administrator Michael Reagan said in a statement, "The climate adaptation plans mark significant progress for the EPA's efforts to protect human health and the environment as climate change increases the strain on the nation's infrastructure and communities." Quote, We need to take actions to ensure a safe, resilient, and equitable future, Reagan said. The Texas Tribune is a nonpartisan, nonprofit media organization that informs Texans and engages with them about public policy, politics, government, and statewide issues.
Night sweats need evaluation. Dear Dr. Roach, my wife sweats at night to the point where she has to change her gowns two or three times and the sheets get damp. I looked online to try to figure out why this is happening. She is 83, so it is not change of life. She is diabetic, but her numbers are okay. Her doctor does not know why this is happening. RA. Answer, drenching sweats at night can be a concerning symptom that needs investigation. There is a long list of possible causes, but the search for a cause starts with a very careful history and physical exam. Checking her temperature at home during these sweating episodes will be helpful. Tuberculosis is one cause we never want to miss, and if your wife was exposed even decades ago, the infection can come back again as she's gotten older when her immune system isn't quite what it was. Tuberculosis testing and a chest X-ray are indicated. There are other less common chronic infections, some that are more common in specific geographic areas. Some cancers cause night sweats, such as lymphomas. If a cause can't be identified by a history, a CT scan might be appropriate. Thyroid disease and other hormonal conditions should be considered. You shouldn't accept what sounds like a lack of interest from her doctor. This needs to be evaluated.
This is the Dear Abby column. Husband takes stock as marriage crumbles. Dear Abby, a decade ago, before my wife and I had children, we were deeply in love with each other. Everything was great in the bedroom and outside. After we had children, my wife did a 180. She's no longer affectionate with me at all. We barely hold hands, we never hug, and kissing is prohibited except maybe a kiss before bed. We kiss like it's an obligation. There's no touching in our relationship. In the bedroom, we used to be more physical and less restrained. I wanted her to be satisfied without getting more specific. Now, if we are intimate, it's once a month during the summer and maybe twice a month otherwise. She won't allow me to touch parts of her body, and she's emotionally and physically remote. When I addressed this with her, she informed me that other couples are intimate less frequently than we are. She has let her body go and doesn't diet or even try to watch her weight, and I'm concerned for her health because she has become obese. If I try to bring these matters up, she flies into a rage. Abby, am I being selfish? Signed, Missing the Closeness. Dear Missing, the answer to that question is no. Something has gone radically wrong with your marriage and you have been iced out. Sometimes when children come into the picture, couples forget how to be friends and lovers because they are so distracted, tired, etc. You and your wife need to discuss this in the office of a licensed therapist. If she's unwilling to do that, have some sessions alone so you can find a way to get through to her. Or figure out whether you want to continue living in Siberia until your children become adults. Dear Abby, our 10-year-old granddaughter has a speech impediment which is becoming more and more significant. It is clear that this is not something she's going to outgrow. She is homeschooled and doesn't attend any sort of speech therapy. Her mom knows it exists and has mentioned the speech issue in passing. I don't want to offend our daughter, but I also don't want to see this sweet little girl have a problem that is going to be more difficult to fix as she gets older. Is there a diplomatic way to address this? The last thing I want to do is upset our daughter, but I'm really worried about our granddaughter. Your thoughts? Signed, Plainly Spoken in Oregon. Dear Plainly Spoken, getting your granddaughter the help she needs to overcome her speech impediment is more important than worrying about upsetting your daughter by pointing out the obvious. By all means, speak up. Dear Abby, please settle a yearly disagreement. If I offer to take the birthday girl out for lunch, I will be paying the bill. So which of us chooses the restaurant? I say I should get to choose where to host the celebration for which I'm paying. Birthday girl insists she gets to choose where I'm going to take her, since it's her birthday. Signed, Unsure in Florida. Dear Unsure, the choice of where to take your guest should be yours, not hers. Between you and me, I think she is nervy to suggest otherwise. You can write to Dear Abby at DearAbby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.